Welcome to The Dealmaker, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646 or online at thedealmakershow.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate. Got a great show you lined up for you this morning. We have Lisa Pellin from the Pellin team at Keller Williams here with us this morning. Lisa, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing so well, thank you. So, thanks again for being here this morning and sharing, your knowledge with us. So, you've got a pretty interesting story. You're just kind of getting back into the swing of things. You recently had a baby boy.
Yes.
So tell us about what's been going on for the past couple months. And,
yes.
And I'm sure you're kind of glad to be back, in the swing of things now.
I am. I just recently in March had to me and Fred's surprise, my husband Fred, who's the other part of the Pellin team, we just had a son. We did not know we were having a boy. He was a surprise, and we were so happy that he's here. And yes, I am very happy that he is now in daycare.
Fantastic. So you and Fred are a real estate team. Was Fred kind of running the show while you were with the baby?
Yes, he was. Actually, what's interesting, Fred is the one who has introduced me to real estate. He started and he got his license in 2006. And after that, he sort of basically was like, look, you got to join real estate. You got to do this with me. And he sort of pretty much threatened me, well, not really,
right.
to come in and join the team. And so, yes, he held it down while I was recovering, it's a very good thing to have a team with doing real estate, because we had a few deals, especially with you,
yeah,
that we had to close as soon as I came off maternity leave.
Right.
They were back to back, and Fred pretty much had to carry the load while I was still in recovery.
Yeah, fantastic. So how is it working with your husband, as a team? Do you guys, kind of feel like you are able to, like, really kind of use each other's strengths to combine for a great experience for your clients?
Yes, I feel like we can offer them a great experience, because me and Fred are definitely two different individuals, and we think about things differently.
Yeah.
So I think that our clients get a great value when they get the both of us, because Fred is more, I would say, cut and dry, and
right,
I'm more of the warm and fuzzy agent.
Sure.
And so when they get the both of us, they get a really good mixture. We actually worked together this weekend. We were showing properties in South Carolina,
mm-hmm,
and that worked out really well. It's a couple that's moving here. They're retiring from North Carolina to South Carolina.
Yeah.
And it was good to have both of us there to add our perspectives dealing with a retired couple, especially you have a female that's different, a male that's different, and be able to basically answer both questions and appease both of them. So
right,
I think it works really well to have a team. And, never leaving a rock unturned. If I can't show a house, he can show a house. If I can't mute a client, he can mute a client. I feel like you get a lot more with having a team.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, you're always making sure your clients,
yes,
are well taken care,
yes,
of, one or the other.
Yes.
So that, yeah, fantastic. So Fred got into real estate in 2006. What were you doing prior to getting into real estate?
Well, I worked at the Mecklenburg County District Attorney's Office for 7 years.
Yeah.
I worked there, and I was a paralegal there. And Fred just kept saying, like, Lisa, you need to get your license. You should come do real estate with me.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, no. I want to, keep doing my thing. Then back in 2009, I did get my license. And what I basically did was assisted him with some clients, mm-hmm, a little bit here and there. But in 2012, I made the decision to leave the district attorney's office, and I came on full time in 2013.
Fantastic. So what's the crossover there, or is there any, just from a business standpoint, from taking great care of clients, because you and Fred do that phenomenally well, is there any crossover from, you know, being a paralegal at a at a district attorney's office, which is probably kind of a little bit cutthroat, transitioning into the, you know, becoming a real estate agent?
I say basically, since my job there was basically to take care of the attorneys, to make their jobs easier, to make to work on the files, make sure they have everything they needed when they went before the judge. And I think by taking care of them all those years, it was a great experience. And I feel like it was my foundation. I think even as being a real estate agent, you dealt with a lot of legal. You dealt with the legalities of the law and what was allowed and wasn't allowed and how the files needed to be. And I think I definitely carried that over into real estate, because real estate is nothing but law. You're dealing with legalities. You're dealing with contracts. You're dealing with what's legal, what's not, and just making sure that you're advising your clients to the best of your knowledge on the parameters in which they fall. So I definitely feel like I carried those skills from the district attorney's office to now doing real estate.
Yeah. So much detail. I think people probably miss that a lot. You know, if you have, if you're buying a house and everything goes, I mean, absolutely perfect. You may not have that type of experience, but, you and I both know when you're buying real estate, everything doesn't go
absolutely
perfect. So there's so many things, and it is so contract and legal based.
It is.
You actually can get into, you know, some kind of issues. I mean, you know, I hear stories all the time of, you know, something falling apart, something going wrong, somebody getting sued. And you just don't think about that when you're writing a contract to purchase a home. You know, you're kind of thinking that, hey, I'm going to buy this house in 30 days, you know, get my financing squared away, and I'm going to close, and everything's going to be great. Well, there's just so many things behind the scenes on a legal issue that you may very well have to deal with.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I'm sure your experience there comes in great handy.
Yes, and I always tell my clients, it's not if something bad is going to happen, it's when something bad is going to happen. And I typically like to do a buyer consultation with them when I first meet them, and I go through line by line of experiences and details of things that could possibly fall through with the contract, and the reason why we may put this addendum in there, and the reason why we may put extra protection, ask for extra time in the contract. Because at the end of the day, I'm trying to protect, you know, what you've written in the contract, protect earnest money, and or not have you on the hook with and time restraints if we didn't prepare accordingly. And a lot of times I try to tell my buyers, like, look, do not stop. You do not give in your 60-day notice. I do not want you homeless. Don't call the moving trucks. Don't do these things. You don't have the house until we have actually sitting in the attorney's office and we have signed the contracts and it has been recorded, you know, and that says you have the house. So we have to prepare that there are going to be bumps in the road, and those contracts are in place to protect us. A lot of times they come to me and the first thing like, well, what about repairs? Or what about this? I was like, everything has to be written. Everything has to be agreed upon. If it's not written in the contract and both parties haven't signed and agreed upon it, then it's not a deal. So definitely it's all about, you know, those contracts and having an agreement with both parties that protects the seller and the buyer.
Definitely. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. If you got legal questions regarding the home buying process, give us a call during or after the show, 704-999-6646, or catch us online at carolinasmortgage.com. We've got Lisa Pellin here in studio with us. So Lisa, walk us through kind of that buyer consult, just from maybe a couple different angles about maybe about earnest money. And so what are the potential, you know, legalities there? I mean, what, you know, if I pay earnest money, I automatically get it back, or like, what's the story there?
So basically what I do when I go through, I always give each client a sample offer to purchase contract. And when we go through the sample offer to purchase contract, the two main things is, Brandon, what I point out is that due diligence fee and that earnest money. Right now we're in a market that we have more buyers than we have properties that are on the market. So what we're running into is a lot of multiple offer situations.
Yeah.
So it's become really, really important. Those two fees become very important, especially due diligence fee. And due diligence fee, I circle it on the contract and I say, this is non-refundable. And earnest money, I circle it and say, refundable. So, and when I break those terms down, due diligence fee is basically you're paying for time to take the house off the market.
Right.
You're showing the seller how serious you are with purchasing the house. And right now, even as a listing agent, when I get contracts coming in, that's the first thing that my sellers are looking at. Are these people really serious about purchasing my house? They care less about the due diligence fee keeping it. They want to know, are you serious about purchasing their house?
Right.
And that's the fee that they're looking at to determine the seriousness of other buyers versus other buyers out in the market. And with the earnest money is typically held in escrow. And if you terminate contract within the due diligence period, whatever the agreed upon due diligence period is, whether it's 14 days or 21 days, then you get your earnest money back. Right. However, if you decide to terminate after then it's going to have to be agreed upon between you and the seller how the earnest money will be dispersed.
Yeah, cool. Any other issues that, you know, kind of come up that create gray areas during the process as far as, like, each party kind of argues that where they think they're right, anything like that, whether it be, you know, some money involved or, you know, as part of the contract, as closing or repairs?
Yes. Right now, repairs are an issue. I typically ask all my clients to get an inspection done when they go under contract for a house. And right. So far, all of them have been getting inspection done. I don't care if you're getting a new house or if you're getting a pre-existing house. The inspector is going to find mistakes with the house because houses are built by humans. And by human nature, they're going to be mistakes. I think a lot of the times that's when the emotions begin to flare up. It's during that due diligence period when we do get those inspections done and those reports come back 30, 40, 60 pages long, then it's trying to get the buyer to, you know, to come in agreement with some structural things that they can ask the seller to repair and not try to throw them in a whole report versus also having the seller understand you don't have a perfect house. So there are some things that you need to fix the house. Although you've done all these things to your house, it's still not a perfect house. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, there's a lot of emotions that go on there where the buyer is saying, well, I gave them over asking price and all these repairs.
Right.
I'm paying all this money. Then at the same time, the seller is saying, well, I did this, this, and that, and I received 10 offers on my house. I don't have to take their offer.
Right.
So it becomes a, you know, I'm the person in the middle saying, you know what? You want their house. They want to sell their house. Let's meet in the middle. And that could possibly be something as small as just, you know, forget about fixing the repairs. Let's do a seller concession. That has worked out a lot for, you know, my clients lately. Just come in agreement about a seller concession. That works really well.
Awesome. So someone's buying a house, you know, working through negotiations. Obviously, you're in communication with your client, and that's kind of like the front of the scenes. Give us an idea of what's taking place behind the scenes. How are you communicating with the seller's agent, the listing agent, or if you're the listing agent, how do you communicate with the buyer's agent? Kind of take us a little bit of background and you know, how do those issues kind of get resolved between, you know, the two professionals as part of the transaction?
Yes. So basically, whether I'm the seller agent on a listing or I'm the buyer's agent for the buyer, the thing that's, I guess, the common goal between a buyer's agent and a listing agent is that you both want to close the deal.
Sure.
So we're definitely in constant communication, whether it's via email, text, phone, and we have a team. We have the team. It's the lender. We have the attorney's office. We have the different inspectors, all of these parties, the appraisers are all coming together for the common goal to help this process with getting the house sold. Yeah. And so we're definitely in constant communication via text, email, phone, communicate with each other, basically facilitating getting the house to the closing table.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned, you know, the team, you know, lender, agents, attorneys, home inspector, you know, the list goes on and on. You know, how important is it, you know, from you and Fred's, you know, end to make sure you have a great team in place prior to starting, you know, a contract?
It's very, very important. I would say we had a nightmare a couple of years ago. We had a client that was going through, we were going through the loan process, and we thought everything was smooth, and we thought everything was going smoothly.
Yeah.
And we had a particular attorney's office, I'm not going to say names,
sure,
drop the ball with ordering title on time during the due diligence period. Mm. And it occurred afterwards. And then when they did return a title, the title had over $100,000 in IRS liens.
Wow.
So I knew for sure that deal was dead in the water.
Yeah.
So I thought. But we weren't able to get out of that situation. We was able to, this listing agent was able to get his client to sign an agreement where the lien's just pretty much attached to his other property. But, so that deal did go through. But in that situation, I learned how important it is to have an attorney's office that's on point.
Yeah.
With soon as the lender asks for the title work and the title to be searched, then they need to be on it. So to catch those mistakes and catch those issues, because had it been caught, you know, what if it wasn't able to be resolved and my clients have already been on the hook,
right,
for all of this money? It could have been a really, really bad situation.
Yeah, yeah. For, you know, South Carolina deals, we use Trey Nance, Nance Law Firm, a lot. You know, they're a phenomenal company. They don't miss anything. So they always take great care of our clients down here in Fort Mill, Rock Hill area.
Yay.
So it's so important. But so who else? How do you determine, or, you know, how do you find the right team to partner up with to make sure your clients are being well taken care of?
I'm going to say, even with you, Brandon, I came in contact with you last year. Fred and us, I had a deal that was going on in Fort Mill.
Uh-huh.
And that deal was about to fall apart.
You were the buyer's agent.
And we were the buyer's agents. And the listing agent at the time, she said, look, I have a great lender that I deal with that basically has helped me in situations like this where a deal is about to fall apart. Won't you give him a call and see if he can save the deal? Well, we did, and you saved the deal.
Nice.
And I think a lot of times that's sometimes how we come in contact with our professionals, by asking other agents, who's that person you can depend on? Who's a good appraiser? Who's a good inspector? Who's a good attorney's office? I think, you know, by word of mouth and trying those people out, it helps. And since then, that particular client has sent us about three or four other clients since then.
Wow.
That you have helped them get the loans, and we've helped them get the houses.
Yeah, yeah. So I definitely want to, you know, talk about that, because obviously that, you know, that's how we build our business. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll definitely dive into that. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate, Rock Hill, Fort Mill, TK. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646, or catch us online at carolinasmortgage.com. And we would love for you to give us a follow on Instagram as well, at Carolinas Mortgage. We got Lisa Pellin in here, Keller Williams real estate agent, talking about the market, talking about the experiences. So let's talk about that experience, Lisa, because I think it is so powerful for you know, how we want to do business. And it's always phenomenal to see that, you know, really kind of the fruits of that. Because, you know, real estate agents, realtors, lenders, you know, salespeople in general, we're all in the same business, which is the referral business.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, how do we get referrals? Well, we have to provide amazing service, number one. And number two, you know, we really have to ask for the business. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, so many of us, you know, kind of fail in one or two of those. Obviously, you never want to fail in providing phenomenal service.
Yes.
And that's kind of how, you know, what we build everything on. So, but then we also want to be great at asking for the business.
Mm-hmm.
So, so you had a buyer buying a house listed with one of the agents that
yes.
I had worked with. And the deal was falling apart.
Yes.
She says, reach out to Brandon, Carolina's yes. Mortgage. And you did.
Yes.
We were able to get yes. that client on the right track.
Yes.
Get her closed up in
yes.
a pretty quick manner, if I recall.
Yes. Yes.
And then so tell you that was maybe what, about 18 months ago?
That was 18 months ago. And these okay. clients, they never forgot.
Yeah.
They were so ecstatic. They were so excited. They began posting on Facebook about what a great job that we did and a great job that Brandon did on the mortgage. And then from there, this particular client had sent another referral from her job, a couple
yeah.
That we also sent to Brandon, and Brandon did a wonderful job, and that closed yeah. a few months ago.
Yeah.
And then they also, another person saw their post on Facebook mm-hmm. and reached out, inboxed them, and said, can you send me your lender and your real estate agent's information? And they did go ahead and send them Brandon's information and my information as well. And that person also closed on their home a few months ago. And then that person, the person I was just talking about that saw the post on Facebook, then had their mom was purchasing a house. So then they sent that person to Brandon and myself as well.
Right.
And we closed a few months ago. So just off of doing a great job on that one deal, it had spiraled into other business. And Brandon is absolutely right. Like, how do you take care of people and helping people in tough spots like that? And just asking for the business again is very important because it's always there.
Right. So, you know, I always kind of, you know, say that, you know, your team, you know, that you surround yourself with, not just the immediate people like your team, Lisa, mm-hmm. with you mm-hmm. and Fred, but your team as far as, you know, the real estate attorneys that you're using, the lenders that you're using, appraisers, so on and so forth, really becomes an extension of your business.
It does. It does.
And how your clients actually view you.
It does.
You may have a terrible experience with you may send your clients to a lender that has a bad experience. Well, guess what? That actually reflects on you.
It does.
And you're not, of course, you're now less likely to get referral business from
right.
that particular client.
Right.
So that experience, we end up getting taking it over, get it
yes.
closed.
Yes.
So how many deals has that led to since that initial deal?
So far, three more deals outside of that deal. So four deals total out of
So it's phenomenal. So that's about one every
right.
6 months. Additionally, just from you know
that
having you know
yeah.
having us come in and kind of save the day on that one particular deal.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
So and also for me, can I say that I was also able to do a mortgage for you and Fred?
Yes, yes,
And
yes.
so for me, it's been five deals.
Right. Right. Yes. yes. Brandon, we had a tough foul. My husband and I were both 1099s, and I'm going to tell you, it pays to have a lender that knows how to deal with 1099 employees.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people, not a lot of lenders know how to deal with 1099s.
Yeah.
So definitely give Brandon a call, all you 1099s and W-2 workers out there. Brandon came in and they did a him and his team did a phenomenal job. John Quattlebaum also
yeah.
as well. They worked through our foul, which was a tough foul, and they got us into our home. I'm so excited. We were able to move into the desired school district mm-hmm. with high scoring schools here in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And our daughter will be starting school in a few weeks in her new school. And we're so excited.
Yeah.
And we're so appreciative to Brandon's team and his hard work of getting that deal through.
Absolutely. I've been doing loans in Charlotte for 14 years. So I've ridden the roller coaster of the mortgage business itself, all the different guideline changes. And one thing that I feel it's just very important for me to do is make sure we're staying on top of all of the guidelines, knowing, how to structure a loan in such a way to get it done. Because, like you said, you and Fred did have a tough file. Not that you have great credit, it is just the nature of the way you get paid. You both do very well financially, and so, but when you're talking about being a self-employed person, you have the opportunity to write off a lot of your income.
Yes.
And why wouldn't you want to keep more of the money than it make, right? So when you're trying to buy a house, obviously those things come into play, and it's really about knowing all the different guidelines. There's two different conventional agencies that all mortgages are being sold to, and those are Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Uh-huh.
Well, those different agencies have different guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not aware of that, or maybe actually you're at a company, I've got some good friends in the mortgage business here in the area that actually can only run their loans through Fannie Mae.
Mm-hmm.
They would have never been able to do your loan because we took your loan through Freddie Mac through a different way to kind of look at tax returns.
Uh-huh.
And so they would have never even had the opportunity, maybe not even the knowledge on how to just get it done. And so just knowing the ins and outs of the mortgage business kind of made your deal, fairly simple for me.
It sure did.
Whereas for someone else, they would have really struggled, tried to make it happen. And maybe the day before closing, hey, we got a problem and you don't close, which is what I think how we met.
Right. Exactly.
With your first client.
Exactly. And I will say our file, I think I've been using my file as the sort of like the benchmark of tough fouls.
Yeah,
If Brandon could have gotten us to close in, then he can get anybody to close in.
We like to think so.
Give him a call because, like he says, it depends on you have to have a lender that's knowledgeable about different ways you get paid.
Right.
And the different guidelines as far as taxes and all that and all those things, and not just deal with just W-2 employees, which a lot of times a lot of us deal with, but just be able to do it in unconventional ways. So definitely give Brandon a call.
I appreciate the plug. Thanks so much. So honestly, when it comes to mortgages, one size does not fit all. For sure.
It does not.
And there's so many different guidelines that mortgage companies are looking at. It's not just credit score and down payment.
Right.
How do you get paid?
Right.
Well, you may get, commission, or you may get get paid hourly.
Right.
Or you may be a base salary or, bonus, overtime. There are so many different ways you can get paid. And that's if you're an employee.
Right.
Not to mention if you're self-employed, there's all kinds of different ways there, too. You could be having an incorporated company, an LLC, S-Corp, or you could just be filing a Schedule C on a personal tax return. So many different ways, and there's different guidelines for every single way.
Exactly.
And so, all the more reason, you really want to be sure you're talking with a professional to make sure that you don't get to the closing table and be told you're denied at the last minute.
Right. So. And I would say this, just jumping in there, it's never too early to start having those conversations.
Definitely.
I tell people, a lot of my clients say, well, Lisa, I'm a year out or I'm this. But having this conversation, especially when we have to file our taxes every year and we're doing those things, it's good be linked to a lender specialist that specializes in these areas and go ahead and start having these conversations now to see what you need to do and to govern yourselves accordingly. So it's never too early to start having these conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually end up doing a lot of a lot of consultations with self-employed bars at the end of the year who are looking to buy, you know, so, you know, if it was, you know, fast forward some time, if it's, you know, November, December, and they're looking to buy, you know, sometime next year, we actually plan a lot of meetings to say, okay, hey, you know, here's, you know, the income you're going to need to be able to qualify for the house that you want. You can't write off every single dollar of your income. You know, here's how we may, you know, may need to structure it. And so we do some, you know, consultations like that. Of course, we work with CPAs as well to make sure our clients are being very well taken care of to where they can be approved for a home loan and not have to pay more taxes than necessary as a self-employed person. So, yeah, so, you know, that just makes a huge difference, you know, working with a phenomenal team like that. So if you need a consultation, be sure to give us a phone call, 704-999-6646, or catch us online at carolinasmortgage.com. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate. Got Lisa Pellin from the Pellin team here, Keller Williams Real Estate Agent. That was a mouthful, huh?
Yes.
So, fantastic. So, let's talk about, you know, kind of you and Fred's business. Obviously, you guys, you know, are a successful team. Love working with you guys. You treat
your clients, too.
You know, so well, and you do such a great job. Kind of tell us a little bit about your business and you know, what you're doing for your clients. I mean, obviously, you provide great service. It wasn't just me on that one deal. You know, you were able to get, you know, that client to refer you three other people that you've closed homes for. You know, how do you do that?
Well, I think for Fred and I, we put so much time and energy with our clients. Symbolically, we look at them as family.
Yeah.
Our clients become our family. And it's funny, we've been to so many housewarmings and cookouts afterwards. Awesome. We, you know, just try to give nice gifts. And, you know, we think about our clients throughout the year on how we can, you know, be a part of their lives, whether, you know, their kids have a softball team or our cheerleading team, just ways of support, because literally we've spent so much time with them, from showing houses to some days, like this weekend when we were showing the houses to the couple that came in from another part of North Carolina to come. They drove like 2 hours here, you know, to look at houses, and we were with them from we show houses on Saturday and we show houses on Sunday, and we ended up like going out to eat, and, you know, because we spent so much time together they literally, you know, you learn about their families, you learn about their grandkids, you learn about things that's so important to them that they become family. And I think that's one of the things that we do. Our clients are like family to us. And so we take those things in consideration when we're looking for homes, or when we're listing their homes, we treat them like we would want our family to be treated.
Yeah.
And even after the deal is over with, we still stay in contact with our family.
Yeah.
We check on them to see if the house is still treating them well.
Right.
We let them know if anything has changed, if the property values have gone up. And I'm going to say right now in Charlotte market, your values can go up pretty quickly.
Right.
So we keep them posted about different things and find out if they're outgrowing their space, or in some cases, if some of our older clients if they need a one level, or if they need to move into a 55 plus community. Mm-hmm. But when you're in conversation with your family, you find out the different needs, and when things change, you're there to assist them with these life changes. And I will say that me and Fred definitely we feel like we're just more than just real estate agents. Sometimes we're therapists, we're psychologists,
absolutely,
whatever, because a lot of times whenever purchasing a house is the biggest thing, most expensive thing that a person will purchase in their lifetime.
Right.
And it comes with a lot of emotions. It comes with a lot of outside factors that's prompting this person to move or to purchase a house. So we're dealing with a lot of life issues.
Yeah.
So we, you know, like I said, we get very intimate and personal. So we just keep in contact with our family, even throughout the process or even as things change.
Yeah, fantastic. So let me go kind of deep on that level, if I can. So is that something that is innate to you and Fred, or is that is that a skill that you've developed to have that? You know, because, you know, I asked myself the same thing, because, you know, everything that we want to do at Carolina's Mortgage is really to just really care for the client and treat them like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so my question is, you is that innate, or is that a skill that you have to develop, or is that something that you just have to consciously be aware of? Hey, this is how I want to be treated. You know, because, you know, hey, there's a lot of grumpy people out there.
Yes.
And you can externalize that to where you make other people grumpy. So obviously you're making your clients, you know, you're a happy person. Fred's a happy person. Is that innate, or is that a skill that you develop? Is that, you know, training that you guys do on a regular basis in order to have that feeling of gratitude and genuine care for your clients?
Well, I think it probably is probably how me and Fred, our upbringing, we've just always been taught to treat people the way you would want to be treated.
Yeah.
And the whole, I know I probably never shared this with you, but the whole reason why Fred wanted to get his license, we went through a bad experience when we purchased our house.
Yeah.
And he was just like, you know what? He said, I'm going to get in this industry and I'm going to be the agent that I didn't have.
Awesome.
And I think at the end of the day, it's about treating people the way you would want to be treated. And every house has a story. I don't care what type of house it is, it has a story. And a lot of times when we sit down with clients, whether we're doing a CMA or whether we're talking about them purchasing a house, we sit down and we ask that question, what's prompting you to move? And it's always something that's deep and personal that any human being can basically connect with. And I think that's the thing we try to do with each client, is connect with the move and just help them in that way.
Yeah, fantastic. So obviously you take great care of your clients, you know, during the process. You mentioned, you know, some gifts and stuff like that. Can I get you to shed a little bit more light without maybe stealing some of your gravy there? But what, because, you know, we do a lot of gifts too.
Yes.
And it's a great way to stay in touch with clients after the close, but what makes a great gift? Let's say that.
I would say this. A lot of times I try to ask my clients, like, where are you going to be purchasing things for your home? Mm-hmm. What are you in most need of? And we try to ride that wave, because the last thing you want to do is give something that, you know, at the time and your client just spent all their money on purchasing a house and they can really use a gift card to Lowe's to buy some paint.
Yeah.
And so we do a lot of gift cards. And then afterwards, even that particular client that you worked the deal for them and they ended up sending some more people, we keep in contact with them by sending like an Echo in the mail and sending, you know, different things as they come out, we'll send it to them. So that's our way of staying in contact with our family, just letting them know, like, Thank you for sending us business. You didn't have to. Thank you for doing that and staying in contact with them.
Awesome. So a lot of practical stuff.
Yes.
You know, like the gift cards, which, you know, is obviously needed, you know, you know, as a new homeowner. And then just some more genuine, or maybe some specific stuff. So you gave the Amazon Echo. I'm assuming it had like a tag where, hey, when you need us, just yell at the Echo.
Exactly.
Fantastic. I heard a great story about a gift, about, you know, how to give great gifts. I'd love to share with you. So not too long ago, but I was listening to this guy talk about, you know, what constitutes, you know, a great gift. And he was saying the best gift he had ever received was he had just graduated college, and you know, of course, you know, you're expecting, you know, big gifts, whatever. I think his parents had got him a car or whatever, and you know, he had, you know, extended family members, you know, cash, whatever. But his older brother came to the graduation and presented him with like a $20 pen, like a writing pen,
wow,
like a little $20 pen. But he had written a note and then kind of verbalized it to him when we gave him this $20 pen and said, you know what? Welcome to the real world.
Wow.
Over the next, you know, years and decades, you're going to be, you know, getting married. You're going to be buying a house. You're going to be having kids. And, you know, you're going to have to sign your name to all of these things and commit.
Awesome.
And so that was the meaning behind
awesome.
Giving him a pen. And he said that was because of the message with
yes.
the gift. It was the best gift that he's ever received, a little $20
wow.
gift. So it was really impactful to,
very.
You know, you don't have to go big, but, you know, to be personal and to, you know, give a great message like that was really like impactful to me.
Yes.
Because we do, you know, we want to do lots of gifts and make sure that our clients are having a phenomenal experience, making sure that we treat them well after closing,
mm-hmm.
make sure we stay in touch with them.
Yes.
Not, you know, yes, we want more business from them, but like you, you know, we actually genuinely care about, you know, the future
mm-hmm.
of our clients. I think an annual review is just so undervalued. Not many people do it. We want to make sure that we're reaching out to the client just like you and Fred do. Hey, can we help, you know, analyze your homeowner's insurance,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, a year later, make sure you're still
mm-hmm.
adequately covered, or make sure that, mm-hmm. you know, if you have any life changes, that, you know, your insurance adapts to that.
Right.
Is there an opportunity for us to maybe help you refinance and decrease mortgage insurance
mm-hmm.
or eliminate
mm-hmm.
mortgage insurance? Or,
mm-hmm.
we just want to stay in touch with our clients and of course, just, you know, give them, you know, a gift of appreciation from
right.
time to time.
Right.
So I think that's, you know, so valuable. So any other things that you guys do after closing, after that process to just, you know, continue that family process?
And you know what? What's interesting is that our clients, some of them, they know it. So they call us
yeah.
for everything,
nice.
Literally.
Well, that's a great
they,
thing to have.
We just had a client call us the other day. He was asking about his, even though we're not the lender, but he was asking us about his payment.
Yeah.
I guess he had got something in the mail
yeah.
about mortgage insurance. And so, like you said, they're always having that conversation with us, literally about anything that occurs with the house. And it pretty much puts us at the forefront because they're just like, look, Lisa and Fred, if we do anything in reference to this house, we're going to run it through you. And we just advise and we'll say, oh, that's just your lender letting you know, your mortgage company letting you know about this or that, you know, just let them know, you know, about what's going on with the house. We had one situation not too long ago where a client called a year later. They bought a house in Fort Mill. They said, Lisa, my payment's gone up. And we could not for the life of us figure out, like, why did their payments go up?
Right.
So something told me, said, just go in there and check the tax information. So I did.
Mm-hmm.
And to my surprise, well, I shouldn't have been surprised. Fort Mill is a hot market right now.
Right.
Their taxes went up.
Yeah.
So, and with your taxes going up, that does affect your payment and affect your escrow.
Sure.
So I gave them the information on how they need to go to the county and, you know, maybe refute the drastic increase or what have you.
Right.
But just having those ongoing conversations, you know, them having the door open, understand that they come and talk to me about anything, or if I don't know the answer, then I can reach out to Brandon or I can reach out to another professional to find out what's going on. But always having that door open in reference to anything happening as far as with their homes, they're
yeah.
able to come and reach out to me.
How do you and Fred kind of develop that relationship? And then the follow-up question would be, you know, how do you continue to nurture that relationship? So when, you know, someone has an issue, you know, a year or two down the road, they think, hey, I need to call Lisa and Fred. You know, how do you develop that? Because, I mean, I think that's a testament to the service that you guys provide
mm-hmm.
and the experience that you guys provide. How do you develop that?
I think a way that, like I said, I think a way that we develop that in the process is just by letting them know, like, look, if you need anything, you know, even outside this home, even after this transaction's over with, give us a call. Let us know. And I think touching base every now and then, going to lunch with them.
Yeah, you got to do a lot of
checking
in,
doing a lot of follow-up. I had a client call last year after she got in her house. She had a tree. We had a storm, really bad storm in Charlotte. And she called. She said, do you know anyone who can get a tree up? Oh, yeah. this person. I sent a person out to get her tree up. Then she had an issue with her hot water heater. And then we were able to say, here, call one of our professionals. He was able to install her a new hot water heater for a very low price. I think also just being connected with the community so you can be able to continue to assist your clients. Yeah. And then just let your clients know, like, look, it doesn't matter. Even after this house closes, still be in contact with me and I'll be in contact with you. And just, you know, like I said, just having that ongoing dialogue, checking on them, going out to lunch, and just having that communication.
Yeah, and then obviously nurturing it, you know, to take off of what the stories that you just gave, knowing the right team.
The right team.
In this case, a plumber slash HVAC guy.
Exactly.
That can, an arborist, you know, with the tree issue, you know, to where they reach out to you and you don't just say, you know,
look in the yellow
go
pages.
Google, you know, you actually, you know, spend the time, develop that, produce, you know, someone who's actually going to help them. So
yes.
I think that's fantastic. So that really kind of goes back to kind of the start of, as far as like having a team. It's not just the team for buying the house, but everything afterwards. And you guys
exactly.
have that.
And just to jump in there, I don't send people to my clients that I don't utilize myself. So as soon as they say, oh, I need somebody, I'm like, oh, this is the plumber that comes to my house, or this is the person who picks up my trees, or this is the landscaper that I use, or this is the cleaning lady that I use. You know, like you said, I'm not going to give my child anything I wouldn't eat myself. Same way with my clients. I'm not going to feed you anybody that I would not utilize myself. And I've utilized Brandon. So definitely I send Brandon to other people. So definitely if I utilize them, I want my clients to utilize them as well.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. And I know your clients appreciate it. You know, the fact that, you know, you do have trial and error with different people. But you know, I think you take it to a whole different level. I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit, Lisa. you know, so, you know, when somebody calls you, you really do step up.
I try to.
It goes back to really caring for the client, not just, you know, trying to close a sale. You know, you're actually caring for your client. And that's what true sales is, you know, finding a solution for a problem. And so even well after that you've helped someone in a house, you're still willing to help solution their problems, which I think is fantastic.
Yes, I enjoy doing it. It just brings me great joy in being able to assist my clients and even just to see them, like, just, you know, transition and grow with their house. I feel like getting a house is the first thing of value that a person will ever purchase, and that equity that grows within that property. But just seeing them grow and seeing them achieve that huge goal, I feel like it's one of the biggest financial goals that a person will be able to do. Before you can do anything, I feel like you need to invest in yourself and have real estate.
Yeah.
Have something growing somewhere, not renting, because renting doesn't do anything.
Right.
And I feel like watching my clients achieve those goals and see them achieve that first sign of financial success, I think it gives me a leadway into, you know, other parts of their lives, because a lot of times with the finances, you can tell a lot about a person.
Definitely.
So it gives me leeway into assisting them. And a lot of times, a lot of those clients, this is the first time that they've sit and had conversations about where they're directing their resources and where directing their money. And so, like I said, I believe me and Fred a lot of times become life coaches and just helping people do life, period.
Definitely. And I definitely view myself as, you know, a financial coach as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I take great pride in helping people get on a better financial path. Not just buying. We don't want to just give them a mortgage and get them, you know, we really want to prepare them to build wealth. And
exactly.
Go back to your point, we fully believe that a great tool for wealth building is to own a home.
Yes.
For long-term wealth building growth. But yeah, we'll sit down with clients and kind of help them analyze their personal finances, you know, help them budget. You know, we work with a team of, you know, CPAs and financial advisors and insurance to make sure that they're really tracking well towards, you know, their financial goals, mm-hmm. not just buying a house. So, yeah, that is definitely the one thing that we do and spend a great deal of time on, because I want everybody to succeed financially. That's really my heart. So, you know, to talk about, you know, my experience way back when, and I've shared on the show, you know, back in the mid 2000s, everything was great. A few years later, everything was not great.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been there myself, and you know, through, you know, different education that kind of came my way, and hard work, you know, we've went past that and beyond.
Yeah.
You know, and it's my genuine heart to, you know, help everybody do that. So wherever you're at, you know, financially, you can get to,
yes.
you know, where you want to be, and we want to help people do that. And it just takes, you know, the knowledge, number one, and,
yes.
and then the work, number two. But,
yes.
Yeah, we love helping clients, you know, kind of plan for all things financial, not just, you know, to buy a house.
Right, right.
So if you need that consultation, be sure to reach out to us, 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. We've got Lisa Pellin here in studio with us. So, Lisa, you know, you and Fred, you know, phenomenal business. We've talked a lot about it. You know, all the things that you do for your clients, you know, developing and nurturing that relationship where, you know, it's really a family, you know, feel to it with, you know, with your clients becoming family. What is – did you guys focus on a particular, you know buyer or seller, you just, you know, whatever kind of comes y'all's way, whoever you can help? I mean,
well, I will say whatever comes our way, but mostly our concentration has been with buyers and sellers. We've done some commercial. So I will say, so it's basically whatever comes our way. And to your point too, I would say financial success and being able to get that home, like you said, whatever stage you're in, give us a call, because I never forget, we've had clients that are janitors,
yeah.
and that were able to achieve the goal of being able to purchase a home.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter whatever your financial situation or wherever you are in, just by making the necessary steps and putting resources to the sides and directing your money, it doesn't matter. You can achieve the goal. You'd be very surprised. You'd be able to achieve the goal of being able to purchase a home. So we
yeah.
work with all clients, no matter how little, how much.
Right.
And I say that because there are some agents that doesn't work with clients at certain price points, but that's not us. We
yeah.
just, we want to see people achieve financial success and freedom by purchasing real estate and really seeing their money grow. And it's, I mean, that's really our heart and our passion.
I love it. Yeah. We're symbiotic in that too. Yes, absolutely. So yeah, you know, we want, again, you know, we want everybody to succeed financially. And just like you said, it doesn't matter where you're at right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can, you know, succeed financially. You know, you hear the story of the guy who made, you know, minimum wage for,
right.
you know, 50 years and had, you know, retired
right.
and passed
exactly.
away and left $10 million to his heirs. It's like, how did that guy do that?
Right.
Well, there is a formula that anybody can use
exactly.
to achieve that same thing. So, Lisa, how can people get a hold of you?
You can get a hold of me. My phone number is 704-942-4177. I'm on Instagram at Lisa Pellin, on Facebook, Lisa Pellin. We also have the Pellin Team Facebook page. Fred Pellin, his information, 704-280-7894. And he's also the Pellin Team on Facebook.
Fantastic. And be sure you can call us anytime, Carolina's Mortgage, 704-999-6646. Lisa, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here on this morning.
Thank you for having me. Thank
Absolutely.
You for having me.
We'll definitely do it again. So thanks again, everyone, for listening, for tuning in. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll catch you next Saturday, same time, 9 a.m. All the best.
You've been listening to Brandon Kohlberg, the Dealmaker. Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and Tega Cay's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit him online at thedealmakershow.com. Join us again next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for The Dealmaker here on 100.1 FM WRHI.